When my husband Benjamin and I were married 9 years ago, one of our wedding gifts, one of my favorite of the gifts, was a set of ceramic plates that were made by a potter, an independent potter. And the plates were awesome. They were unlike anyone else's plates. And at the time, we were always having friends over. People were in and out of our house. And we used those plates with a lot of enthusiasm and zest. And within the first year, every single last one of them was broken. Pottery. It's one of the oldest human art forms, and it's one of the most humble. It takes the stuff from under, a good potter takes the stuff from under our feet and shapes it, molds it into something beautiful and oftentimes something that is very useful. Jeremiah. This morning's reading from Jeremiah is one in which he has a vision of God as the potter. And in this vision, God the potter is at the wheel, and God says, "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." As the potter, God allows the clay to shift and to move on the wheel to draw out the properties of the clay so that the thing becomes the very best possible vessel of its own essence of the material. So in the same way, God makes us, each of us, into vessels of good use, shaping who we are meant to be as individuals and as a community. The symbolism of God's people as clay evokes the second creation story in Genesis, in which God formed the first humans out of the dirt and then breathed the breath of life into them. In Jeremiah's vision, the soil is the dirt is the clay, and it's God's people who need to be willing to be shaped by the potter, and God's people must embody the characteristics of quality material. When an artist's material are at their best, an artist can do their very best work. And when the materials are not at their best, the artist still works, but the outcome is going to be different. Clay that holds too much water in it becomes more like mud, and clay that has become dried out over time becomes more crumbly. And neither one of these two problems, or both of these two problems, result in the same outcome, which is that the vessel doesn't really hold its shape in the way that it should. Around 650 BC, the prophet Jeremiah reminded the people of Judah that anyone can experience the same problem as the clay on the potter's wheel. In the case of the people of Judah, it was the specific choices that that society was making, such as amassing wealth through unjust means and idolatry. Those were the two things that Jeremiah had just rebuked the people for in the verses preceding this imagery of the potter. And the whole book of Jeremiah chronicles this dismantling of Judah's sacred and social world, and it depicts the unraveling of a culture that many people at the time presumed to be indestructible. So Jeremiah is an interesting read for our time. But the analogy of God the potter endures with us today, not just because many of us still use pottery, and most of us are familiar with pottery on some level, but the analogy holds up because it is most often the case that people are not at their very best, in the same way that the clay was not at its very best in Jeremiah's vision. Individuals and communities can become misshapen and broken, sometimes through no fault of their own. Clay can become dried out by negligence or corruption or by poor caretaking. And unjust systems that neglect the poor and the needy can compromise the strength and form of the vessels. Sometimes cruel circumstances that have no apparent rhyme or reason can cause us as individuals or as households to crack. Some of the cracks that are most evident in our national life have to do with the hopefully receding tide of this pandemic, lives and livelihoods lost. A chasm of an ever-growing chasm where the rich got richer and poor people got poorer. There are gaps in education. Some children whose parents could afford private education stayed right on track, and many, many children, as we're seeing, fell very far behind. There are the deep and dangerous fault lines that define Americans by red and blue, and there are fissures that are only seeming to grow deeper as we near election season again. But these things aren't the whole picture. Whenever a mug in our household breaks, or a piece of pottery breaks, sometimes Benjamin or I will glue it back together with super glue. And super glue is amazing. I mean, you can get the thing working again, but it's just not the same. And these efforts usually just sort of delay its inevitable journey to the trash can. But there are other options for broken ceramics. There's an ancient Japanese art form that's called kintsugi, and I wish I had a picture to show you, but basically what happens is a kintsugi master will take a broken piece of pottery and reshape the thing using gold and lacquer. So the artist glues the broken pieces together with the gold and then lacquers the top of it. So the vessel is not just fixed in like a utilitarian way, in the way in which I think of like fixing our mugs in our kitchen in our house, but it's fixed in a way that draws out the thing's beauty. So there are like almost lightning bolts of gold in a really unique pattern that you wouldn't see in any other broken vessel, because it tells the story of what happened to that vessel, because it shows where that vessel cracked. And in this process of redemption, the piece of pottery is even more valuable and visually sophisticated than it was before. In terms of Jeremiah's analogy, the repaired vessel tells the story of a maker who is unrushed, who is merciful, and who is creative enough to bring the thing back together again, to restore and to strengthen it. Sometimes reworking or reconfiguring something that's misshapen or broken turns out to make the thing even more dynamic and masterful than we could have ever even hoped for. St. Paul's, there have been cracks in our community life. This is not breaking news. We've had lives lost to the pandemic. We've had weddings and funerals delayed. And there's just been a disappointment in canceled in-person programming or postponed programming. Many of us have experienced a deep sense of disconnection and of loneliness. One of the strengths that I've experienced of this community since I've come here is the incredible adaptability of people here. And I'll go deeper into that word adaptability. By that, I mean, I experience this community as a people who are truly open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And there's a characteristic willingness at St. Paul's to be shaped by God in the practices of gathering and of the ministries that happen outside of the Sunday morning worship, as we serve one another and serve the community. It's cultivating this willingness to grow and be shaped or even glued back together by this great artist. And I think it's through identifying these cracks, just making them visible, through identifying these cracks and fissures, that God's grace can work and create something new, just like the gold fissures of that Japanese pottery that's been mended. Right now, this week, there are ministries at St. Paul's that are gearing up for fall programming, to connect and reconnect next Sunday as youth and children's programming kicks off with Sunday school and EYC and so many other things that are going on right now. We hope for continued membership growth and continued stewardship growth this year. And we also hope for a healing in our national and communal political discourse. God is with us in these healing endeavors, shaping and caring for us. Every single person here and every single person you know in your lives, each with our own particularities and shortcomings, are useful vessels in the ongoing work of restoration, so that in the world we might be a people of hope, justice, and love. As we allow ourselves to be reshaped and pieced back together by God, we might remember that the resurrected Jesus encountered the disciples still bearing the wounds of the crucifixion. And it's through these wounds of Christ that new possibilities for the world are born. As the power of the Holy Spirit nourishes us with bread and wine this morning, we remember that it's God who shapes our true identities with mercy, rendering us not only usable, but also pleasing in God's sight.